And we're live. Welcome, everyone, to Bricks and Brits, episode 4. Today, my name's Brickitect Greg. You probably know me from this channel, but I'm joined by a good friend of mine, once again, by the name of Cut the Craggle.
Hello there.
And we're missing another cast member here that we typically have, Rogue Runner. He had to move today. He's moving to college or university or uni, as you guys call it. And he'll be very missed, but we're hoping that through the chat, you guys can be like our third person and we'll be interacting and having fun with you throughout the episode. But as we always start off here, Craggle has some questions for me. I don't know. Are we calling this something? Did we come up with an official name?
I don't know. I mean,
Craggle's questions.
Came up with Craggle's quiz, you know, but yeah. Like putting like a K on quiz, but we need a better name for this. So if there's any suggestions out there, you know, put them in the comments or in the chat. I would love to have a much better name for this than Craggle's Quiz with a K.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this is just Craggle asking me questions that I absolutely don't know the answer to and make myself look like a fool. They're all UK-based, so...
Well, we've asked you 6 official ones because we kind of did a little test, didn't we, on the first episode.
Sure.
And out of those 6, you've gotten 1 right.
My percentage is dropping really low. I feel like as this goes on, it's going to be now 1 out of 9, and it's just going to keep getting worse, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you might get a few of these right.
All right, let's keep it positive. I'm going to get one. I'm going to say I'll get 1 out of these 3. I don't know what they are yet, but we'll see.
Okay. Right then. So I know how you like the food-based questions.
Yes.
So question 1, what is toad in the hole?
Toad in the hole?
Uh-huh.
Toad in the hole, and it's a food.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I kind of given half the answer away.
Well, no, I need that hint. Okay. Toad in the hole. Oh, geez, Louise. I can't even begin to think. I imagine it's like, is it like where you make you have mashed potatoes, right? And you start smashing them down in the center to make this spot, and then you fill that with gravy, and that becomes toad in the hole.
That is completely the wrong answer, but I'm glad that someone else used to do that because I used to love doing that when I was a kid.
I also call it the volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do that with baked beans as well. But I know that you're a bit funny about baked beans in the US. Like, you know,
we don't put them on our toast. We don't do things like that. I mean, with baked beans, you might cut up like bacon and put them in there, or hot dogs, but not on toast.
Not on mashed potato either?
No, never put beans on mashed potatoes yet.
Wow. Well, the correct answer is, it is a traditional British dish consisting of sausages in a Yorkshire pudding batter, usually served with gravy and veg. So the sausages are the toad, and the hole then is basically the Yorkshire pudding.
Okay.
But I'm guessing you don't even know what a Yorkshire pudding is, do you?
I don't. I know pudding, but I don't know what that is, no.
Well, Yorkshire pudding isn't really a pudding because you have it as part of your main meal, but it's basically a batter made of eggs, flour, and milk. So a vegan's dream, basically.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, that is a toad in the hole. The sausages are the toad, and the hole is the Yorkshire pudding.
It actually sounds really good.
It sounds so good.
Something I would like.
Is one of my favorite like home meals, you know, a proper sort of like mama used to make meal.
It, you know, the thing that I was going to say, it was actually very close to what that actually is. I was going to say it was like, we have these things called pigs in a blanket, which are like these little weenies, like hot dog type things that are wrapped in like a, I don't know, like
streaky bacon. Yeah, we have those.
Yeah. Streaky bacon. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. We just call it bacon because for some reason in America, you only have the one cut of bacon. Like over here, we have streaky, middle, and back. Whereas in America, when I went over there, streaky was bacon. Anything else was ham.
This food stuff is so confusing.
It really is. You know, you go to like Universal and you try and order some chips and you come up with like a packet of crisps and then like, what is crisps? You know? Oh.
I will say I'm more excited about a toad in a hole than a scotch egg, I think.
They're both great, but they're both for different occasions, you know?
Sure, sure. Can you have either of them for tea, though? Is that possible, or...?
Yeah, you could have. Definitely, toad in the hole is definitely a tea meal. I think your scotch egg, rather, you'd have to have with something else, maybe a salad or something, and have a, you know, scotch egg cut up into, like, circles on top.
Okay. I just asked because I'm trying to flex my little bit of knowledge that I have.
I mean, you were kind of on the right track. I like the thinking behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, what do you make a hole out of with food? And I'm like, mashed potatoes. There it is.
Okay, question two.
Okay.
If someone says they're Hank Marvin, what does it mean?
They're Hank Marvin.
Uh-huh.
All right, I don't know who that is or what that person may have done. I would say it almost sounds like you're really angry. Like I'm Hank Marvin on that. I don't know. Is it just an emotion though?
It's kind of a feeling. You're in the kind of, I would say, the right ballpark.
Hank Marvin. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that can mean. Someone says they're Hank Marvin. I don't know.
Giving up or?
I'll stick with my final answer being angry.
Okay. You're wrong. I mean, some people get angry when they are this. It is basically Cockney rhyming slang for starving. So it's used to express hunger. I'm really Hank Marvin.
I'm starving Marvin is what we say. Why didn't I go with that? And your last question, like, this is the reason I didn't say food regarding this one, because I felt like your last question was food. I didn't think this one would be like a food related one. So I was like, no, because I should have said starving Marvin, because that's what we say. And you say Hank Marvin.
Yeah, we say starving Marvin as well, or Hank Marvin. It comes from the lead guitarist of The Shadows. There was even like an advert once where they had like all people dressed up as this lead guitarist playing the guitar. And then they had some food and they turned to normal again. And it was the idea that they were Hank Marvin.
So. I'm so upset because that was the one I was probably going to get right if I would have guessed properly. Let's go on to number three here. See if I can redeem myself.
Okay. Question three. This is the one that you got right in the first time we did the quiz. And then last week you didn't get any of them right. So
okay.
At the moment, then you're 1-0 on the third question of the quiz.
Yes.
Okay. Question three. What is a rogue runner? Is it A?
Ooh.
Yeah. What is a rogue runner? Is it A British YouTuber specializing in Disney and Star Wars related content? B, one half of the former Brick Bros UK? C, an unreliable jumped up Englishman that keeps letting us down? Or D, all of the above?
I'm going to go with D, all the above. Final answer.
That is the correct answer.
Yes, I finally got another one right. And that was a very UK-based question, too.
I mean, it was multiple choice, so I figured that was the one that you get right.
Boy, that helped out quite a bit.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Dude, the Marvin one, though, I should have got that. It was my instinct, but then I was like, no, it can't be food-based. What is a Marvin?
Yeah, I didn't realize actually, but yeah, two kind of food based. I gave the first one away to you a little bit by telling you that it was food based. If I hadn't said that, I think you'd be completely clueless.
I would have been all over the place. It would have been bad. Maybe that's for the best. Speaking of being all over the place, we'd mentioned Rogue there. There was a few people asked where Rogue is. And this week he's moving to uni, as you guys call it. And I have a theory. I know there's a lot of theories around Rogue and things that he may have done in the past and is doing currently. But my theory is he didn't come on the show today because he's just so heartbroken about having to leave his Disney castle behind.
Well, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I think we had to add another one on there. That would be it as well. I just think he's probably crying right now. The blinds are drawn. He's laying on the couch, crying into a pillow because his beloved set can't go with him.
I don't get why he couldn't take it with him.
I mean, yeah, depending on how much space he has. I suppose he could like set his computer on top of it or something, make it a desk.
I mean, if it really meant a lot to him, he could have, you know, taken it with him. I just feel like, I don't know. He's not committed. He's not committed to anything. He's not committed to the Disney castle. He's not committed to us.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he seems to be committed to is his education, which, be fair, come on.
It just
education.
Seems...
What does that matter? Come on, kids. You know,
where's that going to get
them? Throughout their things, you really need an education in this day and age. You know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to choose between education and doing this podcast and sitting beside your Disney castle in your room all day, I mean, it's not even a choice. Let's not even ask that.
Let's not even ask that question. Come on.
I do have some bad news. Maybe good news for Rogue, and that's that I did end up buying the Disney castle yesterday. Or purchased it for free. It was on like a crazy deal. I've yet to see this set on sale ever. I've never seen a discount on it. And then it came up and I was like, I need to talk myself out of this because it's expensive. And it was like 20% off. And I did a community post and they were like, you got to do it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
I don't know why, but I thought you already had that set. But then when you mentioned you didn't, I was like, yeah, I can't picture it in the Brickatech studio, either like the previous one or in a new place. But for some reason, I just thought you had the set. I think it's because you had the Disney train and station.
Yeah. Yeah, we came really close to getting the castle one point, but I was like, I can't sacrifice the space for it because it's so big. But then this time I was like, this thing's going to retire. I'm going to regret not getting it. I passed it off to Mrs. Brickatech, who handles all the financial decisions regarding my Lego buying. And she was down, but I asked Clark and he's like, no, it'll scare me to death. But I was like, well, we're getting it anyway. So I just have to hide the Mickey minifig and I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, be honest with you, it is a beautiful set. It is one of my favorite sets. I don't know if it's the favorite. I think the Firehouse from Ghostbusters tops that. But it's actually the very first set I bought with my first earnings from YouTube. So the very first time I actually made any money off YouTube, I had one video that went kind of semi-viral. And I got like my first payment from YouTube. I went out and I bought the Disney castle because at the time my job wasn't paying very well and I couldn't justify spending that kind of cash on a Lego set. And then I had that payment and I went out and treated myself. And then I proceeded to buy more Lego sets even when I probably should have. But there you go.
That's a good story, though, and that'll always hold a place in your heart because that was the one, and it kind of paid for itself, I suppose, right? Like, you earned the money, and you got it for free, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
not to say
I did a review video on it, and by that point, it had already been out, I think, for 8-9 months, so the review did very badly, but it was more just a case of just saying thank you to the people who had watched my videos who basically had bought me that set.
I love that. Yeah, I love that story. That's sort of how I started in live streaming. We started streaming, and then the super chat started coming in. BFAB, I think, was the first person that sent me a super chat. Like, I was like, whoa, that was crazy. Oh. So I actually sent him a message afterwards and I thanked him like personally for sending that. And then like, as these things were rolling in, I'm like, I got to use this money for something. So I did it wasn't really a fundraiser, but as the money came in, I was saving up for Ninjago City and we ended up getting that, which happened to be my favorite set of all time. So like my favorite set was basically bought by the people that enjoy the content that we make.
That's great, because then you have that memory associated with the set as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. I went on to
build the whole thing live. I did each bag like on a different night and stuff. So it was just like, it's a whole circle, basically.
Yeah. That's great. I always love it when you have like certain memories attached to items or to things, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I like having stuff, like sets and stuff. I wouldn't consider myself materialistic because I'm not into sort of big things or expensive things just because they're expensive. But I like, you know, what I like. I like Lego sets and I like pop figures and stuff. But what I really like is when you have something and it brings back a fond memory. So when you look at that, you get that sort of warm, glowy feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a difference, I think, between being materialistic and being sentimental. I feel like as collectors, a lot of us are sentimental on things. Like I could look at something very small from years ago and be like, oh, I remember when that happened or the events around it. Which is, I think I've talked about this before. This is why I like tying events in with Lego sets. Like when Clark and I went to see Lego Movie 2, we went out for lunch that day. Like I picked him up from school. We went out for lunch. We got a Lego set. We watched the movie. And all of that together formed like this really great memory. It's not just a Lego set or a movie. It's the experience of it all. And that's what I love more than anything.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's like I said, like certain movies, I'm aware, probably aren't very great. They weren't that great when they came out, and they might be even worse now because they're dated. But I have like this special place for them because they remind me of a time when I watched them. They take me back. So I think of that movie and I think of the time, you know, how old I was as a child, what was going on there, the memories I share with my family and my friends and so on. Mm-hmm. And then that film gets elevated. It gets a free pass. You know, if the acting is terrible, the special effects look wonky, it gets a free pass because of the memory that's associated with it. And I guess the same kind of goes with Lego sets maybe as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I think about, I wish I could have experienced going to see Star Wars, the original one, like when it came out, and that movie being amazing and then having that experience of going there and seeing it in like the cinema or theater. That would be incredible to have experienced that.
Yeah, 100%.
Now we're kind of spoiled these days. Like, you probably have an awesome TV inside your house. You've got your special effects are everywhere. Like, you're used to seeing these things, but to see that then would have been remarkable.
Yeah. Do you remember that feeling you used to get when you watched a film as a kid and there'd be like, you know, some special effect, some creature or some scene, and you just think that it was real and you just think like, wow, that looks awesome. You wouldn't be thinking, oh, that's like nowadays people go, oh, the CG in that was pretty cool. But the thing is, you're aware that it's CG. You're aware that it's an effect, it's computer imagery. So yeah, as good as it looks, if you're aware of it, then you're kind of not fully, you know, it's not done its job 100%. Whereas I remember watching films, I don't know if this is because practical effects are better than computer ones. I'd probably argue they were. But even just, I think, maybe the age you're at when you look at something and you totally buy into it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I get that.
I mean, on the topic of films, there's been a lot happened over the last week with, like, movie-related stuff, particularly with, like, Star Wars and DC with Lego sets, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. And do you want to talk about the one set that you were really hoping to get but were unable to order?
Yeah, I mean, there was two, but there was one that I thought was going to be available in the UK, which turned out not to be the case, and that was the Bespin Duel set, Lego Star Wars Bespin Duel. Like, it got revealed or leaked probably about a month, 6 weeks ago. And the rumors were saying that it was going to be a Star Wars Celebration exclusive. Star Wars Celebration is like a Comic-Con, but for Star Wars. And of course, with COVID, that event had been cancelled. I think it's going to happen now in September sometime and be like an online-only event. But they were saying, because normally you'd go there and you go to the convention and you pick up this exclusive Lego set, and that couldn't happen now. It was going to be available to buy, I think, in Toys R Us in Canada, I think Target in the US, and it was going to be on Lego Shop at Home. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, well, they only make so many of these Comic-Con exclusive sets, not the same amount they would make for like a wide world, you know, worldwide release set. Are they really going to have enough to have it on, you know, Lego Shop at Home throughout the world? But, you know, Lego have said they're not doing regional exclusives anymore, only timed exclusives. So I thought, okay, it's going to be on the UK website. It wasn't. It was only available in the US.
And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel very angry at Lego.
I'm your therapist now. How does that make you feel? And how do we direct that anger elsewhere? Yeah, you think that there's probably a lot more Star Wars fans in the world than there is just in one particular location. And why wouldn't you spread that out? And I feel your guys' pain because this happens a lot, or it seems to.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get like that they obviously had this set that was originally going to be at Comic-Con, or not Comic-Con, but at Star Wars Celebration at this convention. So they would probably have only had enough of those made for that event. And now they were left with this stock. So they were trying to figure a way of, you know, getting rid of it, I guess, for lack of a better term. But it just feels so underhand to have it only available in America and Canada. Like, you know, could they not have done, you know, a special release on the website? I mean, they keep on going about VIP rewards or something. Could they have done that on there so VIP members could get it? You know,
that is one way of making it feel special.
Yeah. And, you know, they keep on saying there's no such thing as regional exclusives anymore, but there's still a fair few things that seem to come out in the States that, you know, we don't get a look in over here in the UK or Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like almost like one rule for one and one rule for another, you know?
Right. I get it. There's also, oh, let me hold that thought. We have a donation from a Mrs. Brickitect, who says, bring back Rogue Runner. Sorry I had to say that. You guys are doing great.
How dare she?
How dare you, Mrs. Brickitect? We're doing the best we can without Rogue. He's the, what is something that holds everything together, Craggle? Give me something here.
Glue?
He's the glue. Hey, he's the glue that holds this whole podcast and stream together. So we're doing our best, and we appreciate everybody that's here today, including Mrs. Brickitect for the donation there, the super chat.
Yeah, I mean, I used to like your wife.
Until she's a fan of... I'll have you know this, though. She's always been a fan of Rogue Runner, so you might want to change your opinion back. I mean, you guys are at odds with each other often.
Who, me and Rogue?
Yeah.
Nah, it's... It's all just banter, really. Like, I think you've had to mention this a couple of times because people take it too seriously, but me and Rogue, we're good friends. We just have this, I don't know, dynamic where I constantly sort of rip into him and he sometimes like crow's shave back my way. It's kind of like, I don't know, chalk and cheese kind of relationship. It was weird because we only really met through you, Greg. Like, you were already friends with Rogue, and you've been off the radar for a while, and he sort of came back into your life, I think, around the same time that I first crash-landed into it. And, yeah, like, I think you just kind of, like, introduced us to one another, and we just hit it off. And
yeah,
I think it's a testament that actually, within a short space of time, we had this dynamic where we could sort of, you know, rib into one another and sort of, you know, make jokes like that. Whereas sometimes in friendships, it has to be months or years before you have that sort of comfort with someone that you can sort of, you know, take the mick out of each other.
Yeah, I felt like you guys hit it off well, and I love the dynamic, which is why I wanted you guys to start a podcast. And then it didn't happen, so I was like, hey, let's all do a podcast, and I'll just go along with you guys because you're so entertaining. But let me.
Little did you know that he was going to be absent for two of the four episodes so far.
I think he said it best when he feels like a guest on here more than a host. But he's coming back. Rogue is coming back. I promise you that. I do want to tell a story about Rogue, but I'm going to hold that thought for one moment here while I share a super chat from BFAB. Ooh. Who says Rogue is sexy. Bring him back. I mean, he's not wrong, right? Speaking of Rogue, though. And speaking of Rogue being sexy, I don't know where this is going, but when Rogue was gone for a long time, he's a friend of us a long time ago. He came back right around the quarantine stream times, right when you were coming in, as you mentioned. Mm. And he messaged me on Instagram, and I wasn't sure if it was really him because it came in under a different name. He says, hey, it's Rogue. And I was like, pics or it didn't happen. So then he sends a photo of himself. And then I had to message him back because I didn't remember what he looked like. Cause I only saw him like twice in my life. So I was like, okay, that would only work if I knew what you look like. Send me a voice message. And he did. And I had Mrs. Bricktech come over and listen to it. And it was him. So that is how Rogue.
I bet she has that as a ringtone now. A lullaby that sings her to sleep.
I thought it was weird when she wanted to download it, but now it all makes sense. Yes.
Yeah.
The super chats are rolling in here, guys. We got Brick Binder. I should say we split all of these three ways. I don't know if we're going to split it with Rogue in this episode, though, even though all the messages are for Rogue. But on a similar note, Brick Binder says Olive Garden is sexy. And we just want to remind you here in the UK that when you come to the US, here you're family.
So. Aww. Yeah, we don't have Olive Garden in the UK. I think our equivalent is probably Harvester from what you and Jim Blade have told me.
It's, yeah, if you're looking for like mediocre Italian food.
Oh, it's not Italian, but yeah. Okay. I mean, in terms of like the price range of what you were saying, like, you know, it's kind of like a chain restaurant, but it tries to be a little bit above fast food and sort of, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But I think we did expose Brickbinder as a non-UK detector. So he's been exposed. But I'm going to hold that thought once more because we have another super chat coming in here.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on here. This is from IC Dead People 35 with the £2 donation. Says Craig on Rogue's banter is hilarious. I agree. These guys are fantastic. And I'm hoping that it comes back next week. Rogue should be settled in. So all the Rogue fans, which I'm realizing there's a lot of them out here.
Yeah, he really did me up like a kipper, you know, this time, because I even put on my community tab, I put like, you know, the return of Rogue Runner or, you know, words to that effect. And then here he's not even here, like, you know, so now everyone's going to be like, oh, Craggle, the guy that lies about Rogue Runner.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm pretty sure in the description of this, it says the return of Rogue and he's not here. So
I bet you he's just not here because he just wants to build up his return, you know, like, you know, have it delayed and, you know, build up a little bit longer, you know, like when you're like the last one to arrive at a party, you know?
Yeah, I think he refers to himself sometimes as the people's champion. And I think he wants to come in next week as the people's champion. So maybe that'll be next week's title.
But do you know like which people he's referring to?
I think like the people that live within the Disney castle. He's their champion.
Just as many figures then, basically.
Essentially, yeah. We're going to hold that thought once more, though, because BFAB has donated again. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. I would stay away from him at all costs. He says Rogue and Craggle are a cute couple.
Well.
He's not wrong. Oh, you guys are nuts today. We were talking about something, though, before Rogue somehow hijacked this entire conversation without even being here. And I think it was about the Bespin set.
And, yeah, so
you were talking about how disappointed you were, but there was a silver lining. And it was that I had the ability to order it, and I ordered one for Craggle. And then I ordered one for myself. This was through Target. It was out like here. I messed up because I told Craggle ahead of time that I would get this for him. And I didn't realize that it was coming through on the 27th, which is the day that it was coming out. And I got up and saw it at like 9 o'clock, and it was sold out. And I messaged Craggle with the bad news. And then like at 10 o'clock, it became available again, which is really weird. So I ordered two of them, one for me, one for Craggle.
He's got two.
The Turbo He's Man.
The mailman.
Oh my God. So I did two separate orders through Target, and I feared that they would either cancel one or both of those. So I also went to Lego, where it became available again, and I ordered one there as well. So now we have three of them coming our way. I'm like, Craig, I'm a part of the problem here, apparently. But I'm going to get one way or another. So I'll have one for me, one for you, and then maybe one for eBay, or maybe I'll do a giveaway. I don't know what we're going to do. Everyone asked.
And thank you again for getting that for me.
Absolutely.
It was... I run the risk of sounds entitled, but it did really wind me up. More so that one than the other set, which you were kind enough to place an order for me, which is the Wonder Woman DC set.
We could basically take that entire conversation we just had and replace every Bespin with Wonder Woman, and the same thing happened there.
Only thing is, with that one, it's weird. I'm less angry about it because I kind of feel like it was coming anyway. But it was related to the DC Comic-Con event. So, like, you know, they did their own event when all the Comic-Cons got cancelled. They don't normally do a specific DC event, but they did one called DC Fandom last weekend. And they had, like, loads of trailers and panels, and it was all online. And they had this set, the Wonder Woman exclusive set, similar to one they did last year with Batman. But the thing is, the tagline for DC Fandom was a global event. But this set, you could only order from the US version of the store.
The US is on the globe, though.
I mean, it's on the globe. I wouldn't say the US is the globe.
It's to some people in the US, though, may disagree with you.
I just want to know what the flat earth is for to that tagline.
Yeah, it's. I think they did a solid boycott. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they probably, like the German Peace Society, went to Lego and they wanted to shut the whole set down.
It would surprise me.
They're like, we're done.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to hold that thought once more. Yeah. I was about to tell you the meaning of life, but I have to interrupt that here with Brickman, who donated $2.99 Australian. This is Patreon Mark, by the way. He says, can we start a Lego bus collection for Greg? A Lego bus?
As in like the London bus?
I have.
There is a smaller version of that set that was originally exclusive to the Leicester Square Lego store, but I think you can now get it pretty much everywhere because of the lack of regional exclusives, apart from the ones in the US.
Oh.
So it could be that you get a collection of those. It could be the new popcorn cart.
Let's not put that out there. I do have the hidden side bus, which I think it's the best hidden side set so far that I've built. I'm waiting to get that fire truck still, though. One of these days. Oh,
the fire truck is good.
One of these days when it releases, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it's weird that you still haven't got the hidden side sets over there, and yet they're already talking about the theme being canceled.
We went to Target and the whole store was wiped out, so I don't know if it's coming or what's happening. But the Wonder Woman set, you missed out on it. I ordered that as well. I pretty much did the same exact thing. I tried getting it through Lego where it was sold out. So I went to Walmart where it was available. I was able to order two in one shot there. And then I went back to Lego and ordered one as like a hedge in the event that it doesn't happen, because I knew you wanted that one as well. So I have six of these sets coming.
Do you know what's weird, though, is that I should point out I am Shy from Shy Time Is My Time. He did try to get me the Wonder Woman set first, and he placed the order on lego.com. I sent over the money to him, and then they emailed him and cancelled his order because they said it was out of stock. But at the same time, after that, they accepted your order.
It's so weird. And the weird thing about it after that, I don't know if they were getting flooded with people buying stuff, but I didn't get my confirmation for that order until the next afternoon, the day after. So it was like maybe 30 hours until I got confirmation that I even placed the order. And then they're like, it's out of stock because it wasn't coming out until October 3rd for the Wonder Woman set, but we'll get it to you. And I'm like, wait, is it out of stock because everyone ordered it, or is it out of stock because it's a pre-order? I'm so confused. So I'm hoping between the four orders that I have out there, I'm hoping that I get two of these sets, and I'm going to send them out your way. The thing for me is, let me hold that thought here. We have a super chat here from Brickbinder with a follow-up. who says, buy another popcorn cart. Brickbinder. Oh, he's a savage. I don't think I can take on another popcorn cart. I already own them all. There's no more popcorn carts out there.
But yeah, literally. Do you know, like, when eBay, they say, like, there's so many, like, I think there's so many DeLoreans left in the world, and, like, one guy owns, like, 70% of them? It's the same thing with Bricotet. There's so many popcorn carts, in the world, and Greg owns 98% of them.
The thing is, it's not like it was a set that I, like, it's not my favorite set of all time. It's just one of those things where I casually mentioned in one video that I was doing, I was like, hey, has anyone seen the popcorn carts? Because my Target's notorious for having old poly bags and not getting the new stuff. And I was like, has anyone seen those popcorn carts at their store yet? Next mail time, a popcorn cart or two comes in. Next mail time, I get like 10 of them. Next mail time, there's like 14. And I'm like, no! And then it became a meme because people liked seeing me suffer.
Oh, dear. The burden of having free Lego sent to you, huh, Greg?
No, it's not a burden. I just learned. I think it's awesome. And I have a popcorn cart skyscraper because of this, which is fantastic. But I've learned that I need to be very careful about what I say that like even putting out there like, oh, I really like this thing or whatever, because then it happens. So you got to be very careful. So when Clark's like, oh, I really like Monster X, I'm like, no. Don't say that, because things will happen. People are a little crazy out there. Yeah. In a good way, though. I mean, it's like you said, it's really cool. And it's nice to know that people care enough where they might be like, hey, I'm going to go to my Target and see if they have that popcorn cart for Greg. And then, like, there's 30 other people that are doing it at the same time. Is like, just, it's wild to even think about that.
Oh, 1,000,000%. I mean, so that's not even a real percentage, but, you know, I mean.
I mean, I did fail out of first grade math, so that's.
Maybe this is why Rogue is going to, you know, university, so we can know, like, how many percents there are. But
we can see with the difference between somebody that, all I do is make videos all day, and then someone that learns all day, we can see the difference in how we perceive the world.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about that is that I know quite often on YouTube, you'll look at the comments and there can be so much negativity there. You know, I'm not just talking about like my own videos, but just in YouTube in general. But stuff like, you know, with your mail time videos, it shows just how many generous and kind people are actually out there. They might not always be, you know, writing a comment or, you know, popping up or, you know, making themselves vocal in that way, but they are out there. You know, there's good people out there.
Absolutely.
It's probably the message that I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I don't think you can let, I know everybody that's here has probably at some point or another seen somebody leave a negative comment on a video. Like, it's unavoidable, but I don't think you should let those people think that they're anywhere near being the normal person or the majority of people, because I think most people are really good people and they want to see other people succeed and do well. And I think that's a takeaway that you should try to get out of YouTube, even though it may be hard to see, especially if you're a creator and you get these nice comments and you get that one person that says like, you suck or your video's crap or whatever. And you look at that and you're just, it crushes you. Even if everyone else told you you're the greatest thing that's ever existed, that one comment can ruin you. And yeah, just don't let it get to you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started, before we went live, and I said we should probably hold off on that for the podcast. And one of the things was, you know, we were saying, like, I can't remember what I was talking about in particular, but Greg was like, we need to get this positive ready for the, you know, when we go live, we want to put in positivity in people's lives. And I said, well, maybe that's you get into the British mindset of having the grumble. And the one thing that I will say is that I often see, and maybe Greg will disagree with this, is that Americans, and I'm definitely generalizing here, but on the whole, tend to be a lot more optimistic than the British.
And I'm like, I'm shocked that you think that, because we were kind of talking about this a little bit, and I'm like, if you look at the news cycle or the cable news or whatever here, you just see nothing but like negativity, and maybe that's just what they feed off of or whatever. And it just feels like it's every man for himself, or you're either on one side or the other. And it's just, it doesn't feel like there's any community anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the world in general at the moment. But I feel as a nation, like, you know, in terms of the archetypical American, when I've met Americans, they're kind of like bubbly and enthusiastic and positive and optimistic, whereas us British are kind of sitting in the corner going like, what the hell is this guy jumping all around the room about? Like, you know.
I get that.
Sit down and be quiet, like, you know.
We have like that thing where we're like striving, I guess, and you want to do the American dream and live this life and work your way up and stuff. At least I hope people still think that way. I mean, that's been a way of life for a long time. Maybe it's not, but I just I just think that, that there needs to be more positivity in the world. We were talking about just YouTube in general. I try to put that positivity out there, and I think people appreciate that, because there's so much, like, it's so easy to fall into that thing, like we're talking about the weather and or jobs and things like that, and you're just kind of like, ugh. But to see a video where you can just kind of escape for a couple minutes, even if it's a 5-minute video, where you can just be like, oh, this is just, they're just having a good time, and like, this makes me happy inside. I get that comment a lot, and that's kind of what drives me in making the content we do, because it's easy to sit down and be like, you know what really sucks, this, and no, you just don't need that, you know?
Yeah, I get that, and I think it's a great thing to strive for, and I think it's definitely needed sometime. But I'm also, I think maybe it's just me as a person, but sometimes I find it easier to trust people when they're being negative than when they're being positive.
Because it's more, it's like reality.
Yeah, and you know what? I remember reading about it a while, because it was something I was really interested in. It's like, you know, because someone said to me, like, oh, you're too negative. And I was like, am I? But, you know, I talk enthusiastically about stuff I love, and it doesn't get a reaction. But when I talk about something that is negative, I seem to do get people do talk back, you know?
Maybe there's two things that people in the Lego space really want, at least the way I see it. They want news, and they want negative news. If you can do negativity and news and put those together, so like negative news, you can have it made on YouTube, because people like that new stuff, and they like the drama of the new stuff. And I've seen it before. Like, I've made, like, is BrickTech buying it on a set that I didn't like? And that does really well, because people, I don't know, people are just driven to negativity. And the problem with making stuff like that is that when you're negative, that's the type of people you attract. When you're being an a-hole, you attract a-holes. And that's not a place that you necessarily want to be.
I don't know about it being, if you're an a-hole, you attract a-holes. What I
think you do.
I mean, well, maybe we're coming out from two different points of view, but like, this was my experience, not so much on the Lego YouTube side, but this was just in my general office workplace. And I read up on about it, and apparently bonds formed through basically mutual dislike or negative opinion on something are actually stronger than those formed about people who like the same thing or like feel positive about something. So if you're together, like in a group of people that you've never met before, and you start talking and they're like, oh, did you see this or something? That was great. And you're talking, yeah, you'll get a bond. But then if you're talking about something that happened that was bad, like you didn't like it, like it was a terrible film that you saw, and you're like, oh yeah, that film was rubbish or something like that, you'll find that that bond will be more lasting, and you'll feel closer to that person than the person that you agreed with something on in a positive way.
That makes sense. Maybe because you're even more passionate about the negative thing. Like maybe you and your coworkers hate your boss because he does.
Yeah, it's almost something to bond on. Like, you know, you feel like, and this actually goes deep into, like, I'm going a bit scientific now. This is a part, by the way, like every podcast, I have to say something intelligent to even out all the rest of the rubbish that I drivel on about. But with this, there is actually like, there's like a proven sort of like theory about this that goes back. Like, do you have Christmas crackers over there? Like when you pull the crack and there's a joke in the middle, do you have those?
No.
Okay. So at Christmas, we have these like things. We have like almost like a little mini, what are they called? I would say firework, but not a firework. They're like,
we have something like that, but oftentimes there's like a little present inside. You pull the two ends and it blows up, and then there's like a little thing inside there. Is that what you're referring
exactly,
to?
Exactly, yeah. Normally there's a little joke on there. Now, the jokes in there are notoriously bad, but what I found out is the jokes are written to be bad, because whenever you tell a joke in a group, there's always someone who didn't get it or someone who didn't find it funny, and then when everyone else laughs and they're clearly enjoying the joke, they're alienated, so it creates a divide in the group. Whereas when you tell a bad joke, and obviously it's something that you've picked up and read and it's not coming from you, it's all of you versus the joke, and therefore you bond over it. You all laugh, go, oh yeah, that was terrible, wasn't it? And it's a bonding experience as opposed to experience which creates a divide between those who like the joke and those who don't.
That's fascinating.
So, yeah. So there
this is the like reason. This is why I subscribe to this podcast.
Now, I'm going to go back to talking about absolute drivel now. So that was my intelligent moment for the week.
That actually made me really happy to know that bad jokes can bring people together too, because that's pretty much all I have. it warmed my soul knowing that. People tell me how bad my jokes are all the time, and I'm like, I'm just building community here, baby. That's all that's
happening. I mean, go on. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I was going to change the topic.
I can't remember what I was going to say now. I've blinked since then.
I've ruined you.
You have. So what were you going to change the topic to? Sorry.
Oh, I was going to go back. You were talking about the DC fandom thing. And I wanted to know if you saw the Batman 2021 trailer.
I did.
What'd you think?
The Batman. The look of it. I thought it looked great.
Yeah, I like how dark it is.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm still not sold on Robert Pattinson, or Pattinson, I should say. I always say his name wrong. It's I-N as opposed to E-R in the middle of his name. I know that, you know, not necessarily because I associate him with Twilight. I don't know. I'm just not sold on the idea. I know he's got a lot of critical acclaim for roles since then. He was even in Harry Potter. He was Cedric in Goblet of Fire. But I don't know. I'm still not 100% sold on the casting, but I'm open-minded enough to give him a chance. And I think the Batsuit looked fantastic in what we saw of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat with you. I was like, man, they're going to have the dude from Twilight be Batman. That's going to be a fail. But then you think about some of the other Batmans. Like Michael Keaton probably shouldn't have been Batman. Like he was kind of like a jokester type guy, but it worked.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer? Was,
yeah, I mean... It's funny that out of like kind of the most recent Batman, you know, sort of thinking of the feature films, the one who seemed the most appropriate, George Clooney, you know, who was this at the heartthrob, who was good looking, he was dark, you know, he'd been in a program like, you know, I think it was like his first film role. He was like a acclaimed actor in the TV series ER, and he was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
You never know. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, you think of like Keaton, he was known mainly as a comedian, and he'd done like, I think he'd done Beetlejuice already at that. Yeah, he had done Beetlejuice, so he was known. And also, Keaton was quite short, so people were like, what the hell? He's not going to look formidable in the Batsuit. Right. My word, did he look formidable. I mean, Keaton's Batman. Yeah, I mean, with Keaton's Batman, it was all about the eyes. You know, when he just looks at you and he had that shot and the pin light that was across the eyes of the cowl, wow. He looked amazing. Right. He was so good as Batman. And then, I mean, I still like Val Kilmer. I feel like if the script had been better, if the direction had gone in a slightly different direction, I think Val Kilmer would have been a good Batman Bruce Wayne. I think there's promise within Batman Forever, and then you get to Batman and Robin, and it's just like, oh my God.
I have a thought on that, but I'm going to hold that for just a moment here while we take this super chat from a good friend of ours, Shy Time Is My Time. He says, 6-hour podcast? I got 13 miles left to go. JK, thanks, guys. I wish he wasn't joking. I would make this a 6-hour podcast.
It takes him 6 hours to walk 13 miles? Come on. Wow. Those are rookie numbers. You've got to get those numbers up.
He's obviously going at a snail's pace here. It's almost as though it's like he's delivering mail while he's walking. I don't know.
Like, what's up with that?
You know? Come on, Shy. Pick up the pace a little bit here. We're not paying overtime. We also have another donation or super chat here from a Mrs. Brickitect. It says, I love Craigle's wisdom, not Greg's jokes.
Ooh.
Wow, she literally takes money from our account to donate it to insult me. This is probably this is easily the low point of my YouTube career right here. But thank you for the
credit
donation.
Card details to insult you.
Is there any chance that we could demod and also block the Mrs. Brickitect account here? Can another moderator pull that off for me, please?
I don't know if that's possible.
We were talking earlier, this has kind of come full circle a little bit. We're talking about Batman. And Val Kilmer especially, but we're also talking about experiences. And I know that Batman Forever may not be the best movie, but I have a great memory of going to see that with my mom in the movie theater. Like I think she had a day off work or something. It's like right when it came out. And at the time I was young and I was a huge Batman fan. So we went to see that. We went out for lunch, went to see that. And for me, that experience, you were saying earlier about how a bad movie gets a pass occasionally. That for me, I can go back and watch that movie, even though it's kind of bad. Not insulting the Batman detectors, but I'm like, that was an experience for me.
I'll tell you what, though, Batman Forever, if there's a good film in there, there's a lot that, you know, it's like, oh no, like nipples on the bat suit. I just,
if you watch
Batman and Robin, Batman Forever is a masterpiece compared to that.
Yeah.
And I actually met Val Kilmer last year, which was really cool. And obviously, I don't know if you know, but he's had I think he's had throat cancer recently. So he's really struggles to talk. And I didn't expect him to even try and talk. I was amazed that he was there because guests drop out of conventions for like anything, you know, for like a cold or a bit of the sniffles. But this is a guy who's still recovering from cancer. And he was there all day, I think, for the 3 days of the convention, meeting fans and, you know, signing autographs and stuff. And I had recently seen a film called The Snowman with Michael Fassbender in it. And it, honestly, it's not a great film, it's kind of boring. And it follows this detective played by Michael Fassbender as he's solving this case. But every now and again, it flashes back to the previous detective who worked on the case. And he's played by Val Kilmer, I think, just before he got throat cancer. And the flashbacks are the best thing. I would love to see a film just with Val Kilmer's detective. Like, you know, he's such a compelling character that Michael Fassbender's character just seems so bland in comparison. And I just said that to Val Kilmer when he was signing my autograph. I just said, like, oh, I saw The Snowman recently. I thought you were superb in it. I would have loved to have seen a whole film with your character and you playing a detective. And he managed to say thank you. It was really good croak. You know, you could see he was causing some struggle, but he said thank you and he smiled at me. And I thought, wow, what a guy, you know. And the whole time he was there, like, we were in the queue and we were looking over at him, waiting for our turn. He was smiling and, you know, and nodding and I guess saying a little bit what he could to fans. And I thought, what a guy, you know.
I'm sold on Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me. I used to love watching him in a movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called The Saint.
Yeah, I've seen The Saint. Yeah, I watched that recently, actually, because it's on Netflix now.
I like that movie quite a bit. That's probably my favorite Val Kilmer movie. Unless we throw Batman in there.
He did that instead of Batman and Robin, and The Saint flopped hard at the cinema, like in the box office. So that was supposed to be like the first of a new franchise, but it's not a bad film. I think the problem is that a lot of people didn't like how different it was to the old TV show with Roger Moore that it's kind of based on.
See, I didn't know that it was based on anything in the past. I thought it was just a standalone movie as it was.
Yeah, there was a series called The Saint with Roger Moore before he was Bond, and it was kind of like, again, he was a thief, but he was kind of like a Robin Hood type character, you know, stole from the rich to give to the poor type thing, and it was done on a weekly basis. And it had, you know, very much tones of James Bond in it. That's part of the reason why he got the James Bond role. And the film is a lot darker. It's a lot more gritty, you know, a lot more into the sort of like, you know, he starts off as quite a selfish character and has this arc, you know. And I don't think people were prepared for that. But if you take it on its own merits, I think it's a good film.
Okay. I'm going to hold that thought, even though we're between thoughts. we have a super chat here from Global Bricks with 99 cents. And I love their avatar thing that they have going on there. That's really cool. That looks like a globe to me. And it looks like there's more than just the United States on it.
Yeah. Is that made of Lego as well?
It looks that way. That's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Lego should do something like that. That'd be an awesome display piece if they just made a globe that you could sit out there with all of the bricks that look like that.
Well, you can actually spin around without it flying apart.
It'd be amazing.
I mean,
they could make the flat version too if they didn't want to offend people, and we could just call it a mat. Yeah, I feel like we've lost all the flat earthers in this video or in this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like it. I was going to say, speaking of like, you know, potential Lego sets, there's one set that people have been sort of crying out for the best part of a year. And now some pictures have gone online of it and I'm not impressed. It is, of course, the Lego, the Mandalorian, the child, aka Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the photographs of this thing, right?
I've seen it. Yeah, you're not in on it.
No, it looks awful. They've taken something so cute and pure and they've made it just terrifying.
Yeah, well, welcome to trying to build Yodas. And I have the other creepy Yoda here. And like for me, I feel like it's one or the other. And I feel like if you have the original Yoda, this one's going to be kind of like rebuilding that only in a different form. But if you're on the fence and if you like Baby Yoda more, I could see people buying this. But for me, I'm happy with the one I have. I don't see myself getting this. The only child or Yoda thing that I want going forward is the little tiny minifig version.
Yeah.
I mean, but I watched Ryan's video on it and I saw that someone made a mock of their version of Baby Yoda and was actually like way better than what this set is.
Oh, it was so much better. The mock that I think Ryan's used it in a couple of his videos now, like you know, a fan mock that they've even done like the box art for it. It looks so much better than the official model that it really makes me sad. I look at the official model and it has like a beak thing going on. It honestly looks like what I would imagine would happen if a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle had sex with a gremlin, like Gizmo. Like, you know, what would happen if Leonardo and Gizmo from Gremlins had a baby?
You know, you've seen Freddy versus Jason. This could be a future movie franchise.
it's awful. It's so bad.
Yeah. From the chat here, a lot of people are agreeing as well. They're saying creepy, ugly. Some people actually like it. Maybe it's one of those polarizing things. I think it's cute. I mean, cute and creepy are very close. Like you could go both ways on a lot of these things. Like just the Yoda alone, you move his eyes a little bit, he goes from creepy to cute like instantly.
I wouldn't say that if you're talking to a girl, that there's a fine line between cute and creepy. I don't think that would go down very well.
I mean, it's also possible there too. I'm talking about Super Protect. I don't want her donating another super chat here.
There is a good question that's completely off topic, so I'll ask you to grasp that think at the moment.
Thank you.
But Adam says, random question, favorite Spider-Man?
Ooh, favorite Spider-Man. You know, I think most people are going to say Tobey Maguire.
You think?
Yeah, probably. Who's yours?
I'd say Tobey Maguire, with a close second being Tom Holland, but I think most people would say Tom Holland at the moment.
Really? Because it's so current. I feel like Tobey Maguire played the nerd role so well, and he just is a total nerd. So when he transforms into Spider-Man and does these amazing things, it just seems so unlike him. And I think that's what Peter Parker is supposed to be like.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing, I did enjoy Andrew Garfield in the second of his films. I thought he was a bit better in that one. The problem is that he was way too cool to be Peter Parker. Like, he's going around, like, this, you know, the high school on a skateboard. He's got, like, cute hair. You know, he's a tall guy. You know, he looks good looking. There's no way you could buy into this guy getting bullied and being, like, you know, sort of the underdog or the class nerd. Exactly. I mean, I don't think the film helped anyway. I mean, I prefer the second one, but in the second one, you've got him. Now, Peter Parker's supposed to be, like, a genius, you know? Mm-hmm. And you've got him watching YouTube videos about alternating current. And it's like, really? You know, this is like not, a giant...
public service announcement here. The views of Craigle do not represent everyone here. Plenty of intelligent people are on YouTube and they're watching videos about all kinds of things.
He should know about alternating current. You know,
I'm just kidding around.
And then, like, even then he watches his videos, he still doesn't get it. And then it's up to Gwen Stacy to tell him then. And he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. I'm like, really? Mm. This is Peter Parker, boy genius? But yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is a lot of people said that with Tobey Maguire is that he wasn't, like, sort of wisecracking enough or confident enough when he was in the Spider-Man suit. And I don't fully agree with that opinion, but I can see it. I think Tom is probably the best all-rounded Spider-Man Peter Parker, but I feel like he's never hit the heights that Tobey Maguire did. Not yet. He's still got time, though, so.
Right. Most of the chat is saying Tom. Almost everyone is Tom. The thing is, though, is the recency bias happening here, where you kind of forgot about the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Maybe you've never even seen those movies. Maybe you didn't realize that there was a Spider-Man before the Spider-Mans you're watching now.
Yeah. Hard to say. I'll tell you what no one said, though. No one's mentioned the Into the Spider-Verse movie that came out recently.
I feel like I need to watch that. I haven't seen it yet, but
fantastic.
It's on Netflix.
So good. Yeah.
I want to play the Spider-Man game too. The Spider-Man PS4 game is supposed to be incredible as well.
Yeah. I don't have a PS4.
What do we need to do to get Craggle a PS4 here? I really would like a PS4, says Craggle. 16 of them show up at his house the next day.
Oh my God.
That's YouTube.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I mean, one thing as well that Tom Holland's got going for him is that he's also part of the MCU. He's part of a larger world. So I think that goes in his benefit as well.
Yes, that helps.
It goes to his advantage, you know, whereas like the previous two incarnations were kind of in isolation. Although there was a reference to Doctor Strange, I think, in Spider-Man 2. There's a reference where they're trying to think of a name for Doc Ock and Jonah Jameson's assistant, who's paid by Sam Raimi's brother, he says, how about Doctor Strange? And he goes, that's pretty good, but it's Taken.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah, well, now Sam Raimi's going to be directing Doctor Strange too, so... Yes, there you go. It does come full circle.
I really like the Doctor Strange movie. I thought that one was a fun watch. Most of these Marvel movies I've watched, like, just once, and that was kind of enough for me. And it's tough to go back and be like, what happened? Like, even when you're watching them in order, and you're like, what happened a year ago when I watched this movie? And you're like, oh, okay, I remember this now.
Yeah. I feel like we've kind of lost the sort of event of a big movie nowadays. Like, so many of them come out in a year. Like, do you remember, like, when there used to be, like, only one or two big summer tentpole movies, and they used to be the big blockbuster of that year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and now you have blockbusters happening in, like, March. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, all times of the year, it's just nuts.
Yeah, and if a film doesn't make, like, you know, twice its budget back in, like, the first 2 days, it's considered a flop nowadays, you know? It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Was the Batman movie, was that supposed to come out this year? Or was that always coming out in 2021?
I think it was always coming out next year. They've had to delay a lot of filming, though. I mean, I don't know if you... Did you just see the trailer or did you see the panel on DC Fandom as well?
I just saw the trailer after the fact and I was like, I love the trailer. I love, like, they're playing the Nirvana music in it. And I was like, oh, man, this is kind of dark. And it just felt really good. So I'm pretty stoked on it. Like, when you didn't think Batman could get darker,
it just gets darker. Yeah, it really does look good because... I watched the panel as well, and the director was on there, and he was being interviewed, and he was saying all the right things. Like, if you don't know, I'm a massive Batman nerd. You know, it's up there with Lego and Ghostbusters as, like, some of my favorite, like, franchise or favorite things, whatever you want to call it. And he was literally, he was referencing comics that I love. He was talking about the character, and as he was talking about the character, I was like, yeah, this is a guy who, you know, you can't sort of just, you know... You can't bullshit like what he was saying. Like, you know, you have some directors on, and they're like, oh, yeah, I was a fan of the comics. What's your favorite comic? Oh, you know, well, there's so many of them, and, like, I couldn't pick out just one. He was, like, talking about comics, and he was talking about, like, not just a story, but the themes that the stories were about and how they inspired this film. And I was thinking, wow, this is going to be good.
DC sort of needs this, though.
Yeah,
like all the Marvel movies are awesome, and then, like, these DC movies are just like, oh, shoot, man. I love Batman. Give me a good Batman movie. Cody's angry because she loves Superman and she wants to know where all the Superman movies are. This is like the 50th Batman movie now. Where's Superman?
Yeah, I don't get that complaint. Like, oh, like the DC movies haven't been good for a while. I mean, I feel like, again, it's one of those things where you remember the most, or at least the mainstream audience remember the sort of the worst one. I mean, recently we've had Joker, which is Justice League. Yeah, but we've had great ones since then. We've had Aquaman, and made over $1 billion. We've had Shazam. We've had Joker. Just before Justice League, we had Wonder Woman, which was technically kind of like finished before Justice League anyway. I don't know. I think the future looks bright for DC movies. And the thing is, with Marvel movies, I love Marvel movies. I'm a Marvel fan, not as much as a DC fan, but, you know, I love both. But I would probably say I'm more DC than Marvel. But they're going very samey Marvel movies, and I'm just not getting the excitement going into them as I used to.
As you hear a brick fly through Craggle's window right now, a Molotov cocktail flies through. The Marvel attackers are going to come for you. DC movies, I started watching Birds of Prey last night, which I think you saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I realized about 5 minutes in that I wasn't going to be able to watch that in front of Clark.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay, I got to turn that off. That was...
That's probably been the one recent flop. But the thing is, it got critical acclaim, and I really enjoyed it. I don't know. The problem was they had a really stupid title, and, like, the marketing on it was done, like, last minute, and it kind of came out just before, like, the proper pandemic got into full swing. So there's a few things going against it. But if you do get the chance to watch the film, I would say give it a go. But, yeah, it's not one for young children.
It's going to be one of those ones that I watch as, like, a solo thing. I can't have that on in the living room. So that's been a real challenge with trying to see all these movies. Like, I wanted to watch Joker forever, but it was like, shoot, I can't watch this in front of Clark. So it's just one of those things, I guess. So we'll have to find time to watch it. Right now I'm watching Band of Brothers, and that's, of course, a solo thing too, because there's a lot of violence in that, of course.
Yeah, Band of Brothers. I honestly couldn't believe you hadn't seen that before. It's a phenomenal series.
I love it. The only thing about watching it is I feel like I really have to, like, be in the mood to watch it because it's kind of heavy.
And yeah,
you're like, yeah, I don't really want to get into seeing snipers taking, like, people out. And
yeah, that kind of stuff. No, I get that. Sometimes you just want sort of, like, switch your brain off, light viewing.
Yeah,
like, I'm currently going through Penny Dreadful. Is something that I missed out on when it first came out, the original Penny Dreadful, not the recent spin-off series. And I love that, but sometimes, because each episode is like about an hour, 5 minutes long. And, you know, it is quite a dark topic. You know, it's not a lot of humor in it. And I just, like, I want to keep on watching it. I'm enjoying it. But sometimes I'm just not in the mood for it. I just want to put, like, you know, something on that's going to make me laugh, or something I can just sort of switch my brain off and just let wash over me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I find that when I do get in that zone, though, where you want to watch these, I'll end up watching, like, two episodes of Band of Brothers just in one sitting, which is over 2 hours usually of content. So once you're there, you're there. But I think, like, the binge could be very real with that. And it's a great watch.
Yeah, I can't recommend Band of Brothers enough. It is a phenomenal series. You know, guys who don't know out there, it is a based on a true story. It's based on a book, which the book is basically this regiment called Easy Company during World War II in Europe. And they were paratroopers. And the book Band of Brothers is basically they've gone and met their surviving members at the time and interviewed them and got their recounts of what happened. And they've made this book of it. And then after Saving Private Ryan came out, Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg as executive producers basically made a series adaptation of this book because of what, you know, they were kind of inspired, I guess, when they did Saving Private Ryan. And it has the same sort of look as Saving Private Ryan. I think it's had the same cinematographer, a lot of people behind the scenes, but this is obviously a true story as opposed to, you know, just a work of fiction. And it's great. And one thing I really loved about it is that at the start of each episode, you have these interviews with these old men, these veterans, and they talk a little bit about what you're about to see and, you know, not giving so much context, but about their experiences. And these people are the survivors. They're the people whose story it is. But you don't find out which character they are in the show until the very last episode. So in the very last episode, their names pop up and you'll realize then that character you've been watching is that man. And I think they've done that for two reasons. One is not to spoil who dies and who doesn't make it through the series, but also it kind of gives it that, I don't know what the right word is for it, but you kind of, you're getting like the story from them and thinking, wow. And only at the end you think, wow, your opinion almost changes because this person that's been talking to you, and yeah, okay, you know, you know they're of a certain age, they, you know, they don't think they're lying about having these experiences during World War II by any means, but like, even though it's a dramatization, it's like you've seen it, what they've been through. And then when you get the name attached to that and this character that you've sort of, you know, watching and sort of developed an attachment to, and then realize that it is this man who's been interviewed, it hits home so much harder. Like what happened and what they did, what they achieved, what they endured, you know?
Right. Yeah. Cause these guys that are sitting there, they look like anyone's grandpa.
Yeah.
Just a normal guy. But then to think about the sacrifices they made and just seeing in the first episodes, these guys like being so desperate to go there and fight, to put themselves through boot camp and stuff. It's mind boggling that you would work that hard to potentially go over and get shot or to the plane crash or whatever could happen. You're taking something out. And that's the thing that's really hitting home with me is like, these guys will do these missions where they have to take something out, like say a gun or something, and to see the casualties that come from that and the loss from doing these small things and the real human element that's attached to that is just remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at the big picture, it's like, okay, we sent 100 guys in, we lost 10, but we took out the tank or whatever. But then when you see like the one guy or the 10 guys that are there that got killed and they were a part of the show, it's like, dang, that was catastrophic.
I mean, that's the thing with this show. And I think what they tried to achieve, and they did, is that it's not so much about the bigger picture, but about the people who are part of it. So whilst you'll see them like go on a mission and, you know, you don't know what the mission is and whether they achieve it or not is part of the story, like you would, you know, with a sort of war film or something like that. With this, it's not so much about the thing they're achieving as so much. It's about their experiences, about the people. Like, the people are the story rather than the mission, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's an incredible series, and I can't recommend it enough. And I'm really happy that you're watching it now.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through. I'm anxious to watch the rest of it, so we'll keep cranking it out.
Yeah. I mean, someone I just noticed in the chat has said, Rogue Runner is still not here.
He's still not here after two episodes. He's still not here. Speaking of chat, we're now over an hour. We should probably turn this over into chat rapid fire. If you guys have any topics you want to talk about, it can be related to things we've talked about thus far or completely unrelated. It's something that you would like to discuss. Throw it out there. We'd be happy to discuss it. And, now we wait.
Now we wait. Yeah. Now we go quiet for a little bit.
The delay is real. It's tough when you watch it because it's like, I don't know if you've ever like asked a question or it's like something you need to know immediately. And then you have to like wait or maybe fill time in between the time it takes to get that answer back. It's pretty painful when you're actually doing it.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I was going to mention is I wasn't able to cancel my pre-order for the Razor Crest. Cause that was kind of like the final nail in the coffin, finding out that the Baby Yoda was going to come in the cheaper set. So whilst I'm not going to buy that set, it means that, you know, buying the minifigure on itself, you know, from third-party sellers is going to be cheaper. So I was like, yeah, I'm canceling my pre-order. Contacted Lego, and they were like, unfortunately, we've already boxed it and it's ready to send out. So, but they've given me a return label, so I can return it for free as soon as it arrives.
For me, between the two of those sets, I think the Razor Crest I'd rather have than the Baby Yoda personally. And that's coming from someone that loves to have, I love having displayed figures sitting around. So that's really saying a lot for me to say that.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to get the figures like from third party sellers or something like that, because I was looking at it and thinking the only thing I really want from this is the Baby Yoda. And is it the Grief Kraga? I always say his name wrong. The character paid by Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers.
Sure.
That's all I really want from that. I mean,
I'm like that with all the summer sets. I think I mentioned that Star Wars at this point, I just want the minifigs. Like, so I'm just going to buy them. I don't really care too much about the sets or for the sets. I just love the minifigs from Star Wars.
Yeah. Grasp that think, because we now have some comments coming through here.
Ooh, okay.
So one of them is a bit of a morbid topic, but it is something that's happened, is about Chadwick Boseman's death, which I woke up to the news this morning about that. So for those who don't know, Chadwick Boseman famously played Black Panther in the Marvel movies. And I woke up to the news today that he's passed away at the age of 43, which is so young, really. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, for the level of success that he had and how much he meant to so many people out there, with Black Panther being people's favorite movies and the inspiration that he's given people. The worst part of it for me was, like, I saw photos of him on Reddit visiting kids with cancer in hospitals and stuff, knowing full well at the time that he had it as well, but was keeping it a secret. I
can't believe that. Like, they said that he got diagnosed 4 years ago, like in 2016. So you think about the films that he's done since then, knowing that he's had cancer, and it's just like the strength this man must have had. And, like, you know, and it can seem like, you know, okay, what was the thing? You know, he just made films, but, you know, it's a grueling process making a film anyway. But you also got to think of, like you said, the effect that's had, like how much of a positive influence he's had on people, you know, looking up to him and seeing the superhero. And like you said, he was going around cancer wards and cheering up kids and, you know, showing support to them whilst he's been battling this illness himself. It's just incredible strength. Really. I'm gutted. I really am.
I think it's a testament to his passion for what he does as well, because for many people, if you knew that you had this cancer and you probably weren't going to make it, you know, you get that first Black Panther money or whatever, and you got a couple million in the bank, you're doing pretty well for yourself. Maybe that's the point where you just are like, okay, I'm going to spend what time I have left. I'm just going to relax, enjoy what I have, you know, live off of this, but to keep working and dedicate yourself to that, I think says a lot about the guy.
Yeah, I agree. It's just so sad. 43 is nothing, really.
No.
You know, I know people have died younger and people have died older, but like you mentioned about, like, you know, him being so successful, I feel like his real success was yet to come. I feel like he was just starting, really. I feel like, you know, he was one of those people that was going to be, you know, had only bigger and better stuff ahead of him, really, you know? Not to say that anything he's done right now hasn't been big or, you know, great, but I feel like he was just going to, you know, keep on rising, really.
Yeah, you think about the number of actors that have really excelled in past 40 or 50 even, and I think he could have easily fell into that, being that he just came on the scene, it seems like, very quickly. I don't know what he did before Black Panther. I don't know much of his history prior to that. Like, I think that's where most people probably know him from. But once you hit it big like that and have that success, I think it just comes to you after that. And I think that would probably been the case for him as well.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of, in a very morbid way, kind of ties into another question we've got from Night Calm. Have you guys watched the Dark Knight movie? Because obviously, famously, another great actor taken really before their time starred in that movie as well. Have you seen The Dark Knight?
Yeah, I love that series. The whole Val Kilmer. The whole Christian. We got Val Kilmer on the brain. Somehow Val Kilmer's taken over our podcast. The Christian Bale Batman was probably my favorite. I just love that, the whole series.
Yeah, I find it really tough because I absolutely adore Keaton as Batman, but I also love Christian Bale. It, you know, that I see so back and forth which is my favorite, because they're both just incredible. And likewise, I see so back and forth which is my favorite of that trilogy. it goes between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. And I think the reason is The Dark Knight is probably the better movie, but in terms of comic book accuracy, Batman Begins is a proper comic book Batman, whereas The Dark Knight goes into more Nolan's Batman, if that makes sense. Like, it goes ultra-realistic. You don't have the Batcave anymore. You know, he has like a... I can't remember what it's called. It'd be a, you know, a den or something, like
a,
now.
A bunker, I guess?
Bunker, yeah.
It's like an underground garage bunker type thing.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's bright white light. So, you know, it looks cool, but it's not particularly comic book accurate. And Batman's always like in the cave with dripping water and bats flying overhead and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think they made it more like, what would a modern day Batman, like, that's living in, let's say, 2020, which is could possibly the worst year ever, according to Shia, so needs to end already. I agree. Would that Batman that has all this wealth and all this technology, would he really be in a cave, or would he be in like what you see with the white lights and the ceiling and stuff?
Yeah. No, I get that. And I think it's a superb film. I think as a comic book fan, that's why I seesaw back and forth between which is my favorite, though, is it Batman Begins or The Dark Knight? Definitely the weakest in the trilogy, I think, is Dark Knight Rises. And yeah, for sure. I feel like a part of that was probably down to Heath Ledger's death. Like, I know that, you know, they purposely didn't kill the Joker off at the end of The Dark Knight because they had ideas and plans for him in the third movie. And I know part of the reason why Nolan left it so long between movies is because he was so reluctant to come back to the franchise after Heath Ledger's passing. And they, like, I remember, like, before The Dark Knight actually came out, after Heath Ledger had passed away, there being, I think it was like an MTV award, something on there, and Christian Bale was on there with like a sneak peek of the movie, and he got quite teared up by it, like by seeing Heath Ledger on screen. And then there was also a picture of like, there was a charity meal, like a dinner or something, where you paid your money for a meal, and basically the proceeds went to charity. And apparently, I think it was Heath Ledger had the ticket, and he took Christian Bale as his date, and it's the two of them just in casual clothes. Like, it wasn't even like a tuxedo charity dinner. It was kind of like a very casual thing. It looks like, you know, mid-tier restaurant. And there's a photograph there of them two just with some other people just chilling as like as best friends, like as mates. And it's wow.
Hmm.
But yeah.
We do have, I hate to make you lasso that thought here, but we have a super chat here from Firestorm who just comments Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Indeed. Sure. I tried watching the movie yesterday. I'll get to it. I'll let you know my official thoughts on it once I have it finished. That's probably what they should have named that movie, though. I think it'd be way more recognizable than Birds of Prey and Subline.
Harley Quinn was part of the problem as well, because it's called Birds of Prey, but the Birds of Prey are secondary characters. Like, and even then, in the comics, the main Bird of Prey is Barbara Gordon, Oracle, and she's not in the film. So it's kind of like, what?
Am I just out of the loop, or like, did they not have any marketing for this movie at all?
I didn't see any marketing for it either. That's what I'm saying. Like, I saw one billboard. That was it. I didn't see any trailers for it. You know, there was no posters. Like, you know, there's nothing on the sides of buses. There was like no marketing for this film. And then they were like, huh, I wonder why it didn't do so well.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think as well is that Suicide Squad had a really like sort of big, like fan base of like, you know, sort of teenage girls. Like, they loved Harley, like the Harley Quinn costume from Suicide Squad. It was like the most popular Halloween costume for like, you know, 4 years running. But then this film, I think, where in the UK it was a 15, and in America it was R-rated, so those fans couldn't go see this film.
Yeah, so, it had to be.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got 5 minutes in and I'm like, okay, there was a couple F-bombs already, so I think we have to wrap this one up.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think it's a good film. I know it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but I thought it was a quality film. But it was definitely, it was marketed not very well. And the title was just, it should have been just Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, maybe something like that, you know?
Yeah, it'd have been perfect. I'm going to have a chance to watch it, though. I have HBO Max, which they apparently, I think Warner Brothers is a part of HBO or something. Someone can correct me on that. So with DC is on there, and I have all these movies that I need to watch. Like, we started Aquaman. I haven't finished that. So I missed that entirely. I still need to finish Joker. So like my perception of DC, like I said earlier, like DC needs to make a comeback. I haven't seen their comeback because I have yet to see these amazing movies that DC has come out with. So I need to catch up on all of those, and I'll report my findings in a future episode.
I would definitely see, and this goes to the comics as well. I definitely think Marvel is the more child friendly of the two. And I think that even goes like for the comics as well as the films.
Yeah, like I think I could let Clark watch Infinity War.
I mean, that's part of the reason why you got Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, because like so many parents complained that Batman 89 and Batman Returns were, you know, unsuitable for their children because they were expecting something like the Adam West, you know, on the big screen, you know?
Yeah.
So
you think we should just start like a movie podcast?
We could do this. It's kind of turned into a movie podcast, hasn't it?
Movies and Brits. I like this podcast because it can turn into whatever's on our mind that week. In this case, I think we started talking about the DC sets and then it kind of turned into all that. We started talking about Batman. It's always a challenge to know what we're going to talk about, but we kind of go into this, as I mentioned before, we kind of go in without really too much of an outline and just let it flow. And
yeah, I mean, we said this before. I think like our conversations, they start with one thing and by the end of it, we're like, how do we get to this topic? And I feel like that's part of a good conversation. It's hard to sort of keep it just on Lego. I mean, I will go back briefly to like the Razor Crest, and I will say the name change from Razor Crest to the Bounty Hunter transport ship was not part of my decision, but it certainly didn't help me wanting to cancel the pre-order of that.
Right. So they already had it packaged. Weird. You mentioned it being packaged. I wonder, how is that packaging? Does it say Razor Crest on it, or have they completely scrapped all of those?
They kind of like produced all new boxes with a new, I reckon it's going to be a sticker on them. Like I remember seeing like your birthday, was it your birthday video or stream where you had the Harry Potter sets? And yeah. I noticed that they were European boxes, but they had put like a white sticker with a piece count over the top.
Yeah. Can anyone skillfully peel that off and see what's under there? I wonder.
Yeah, but it's weird because you've got this big set that's been hyped for ages. The first knock came when, even now, the description says a new for autumn 2020 Mandalorian figure, and it's not. It's the same one that came in the AT-ST Raider. Everyone thought, "Oh, that must mean it's going to be a new variant in his Beskar armor," and they just haven't updated the photographs of it yet. But no, it's been confirmed. Those who've had review copies, it's the same minifigure as you know as the one that we got last year. So that's a lie. The other thing was you get the scout trooper, but you don't get like, you know, a bike for him. Then you have like the, the carbonite bounties. They're like completely different to the existing carbonite one. They're really thin just to make sure they fit in there. So that was kind of like, oh, okay. So really the only thing you were getting it for was the Creve Cargo. I think that's his name, something like that. Carl Weathers character and Baby Yoda. And now Baby Yoda is going to come in a cheaper set anyway. So it'd be more readily available. So what is this? And now they haven't even got the name going for the set anymore. It's not even the Razor Crest. It's the Bounty Hunter transport ship.
I think the biggest fail of all is that this set should have came out in January of this year.
Oh,
I
think
it would have dominated because there was so much hype running then. And now the hype is still there, but it's not what it was when Mandalorian was coming out each week and people were just loving it.
Yeah.
Although you guys are a little different, I guess, because you didn't have access to it until... Was it this summer, this spring?
We didn't have official access to it.
Oh, okay. You were sailing the seven seas, though, when you were able to watch it.
Yeah, international waters or something like that, yeah. Well, the thing is, if you didn't watch it by unofficial means to begin with, you would have had it all spoiled for you because of all the Baby Yoda memes that like were everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Baby Yoda really tells the story, but you know he makes an appearance, I guess. Or the child, or whatever you want to say. I wasn't sure when we did the Mandalorian Brickheads, I wasn't sure what would trigger people more if I called him Baby Yoda or the child, because I felt like somebody was going to be upset either way. So I kind of rotated between the two of them.
I mean, when someone said Baby Yoda, I just assumed they meant they were referring to Yoda because we don't know the name of his species. But apparently some people thought it was actually Yoda as a baby and they were really confused with the timeline. But then I also know someone that was like, how old is Han Solo if he's around before the Phantom Menace? And I was like, what do you mean is Han Solo around before the Phantom Menace? They go, well, Darth Maul's at the end of Solo. So I was like, right. But you know, this is set after Phantom Menace. It's set like, you know, when the Empire, there's stormtroopers around, the Empire's around. Like you should know. Like, I get if they were confused why Darth Maul was alive, but to sort of, like, take that and then think, oh, the whole film must be before the Phantom Menace, even though Han Solo's in there and Stormtroopers and the Empire, I was like, oh, God.
You sound like a Star Wars detector.
I don't
know. Make sure you leave.
I don't know what I sound like.
How dare you not know everything about Star Wars? You got to comment that on their videos and stuff. Trust me. I've been there.
Carl Ren. Yeah.
He's famous on our channel now. He's like D2. A cast member, basically. Yeah, Dar D2. I mean, it's all over the place.
Is that what he calls him? Dar D2?
Dar D2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or just D2. I think now that we've triggered the Star Wars detectors, I think I've checked off all my boxes here for our podcast today.
I think so.
Any final comments or concerns or anything you want to throw out there, Craigle?
Well, I would say comment if you can think of a name better than Craggle's Quiz for my free questions that I ask Greg on every podcast. And also let us know who you would like to replace Rogue Runner, as he clearly is not committed enough to be a member of this podcast anymore.
I'm really questioning my confidence in him being here for the next episode. I'd love to throw it out there and be like, Rogue's going to be back better than ever. The return for all of his fans that are sending super chats to get him back. I don't know if he's going to be here. I hope he is.
I mean, the reason this is an hour later is because Rogue was like, yeah, I can't make the usual time. Can we make it a 7 instead? And we're like, yeah, okay, no worries. You know, we'll do that for you. We'll readjust our lives, our schedules, our families to accommodate you. And then today he's like, oh yeah, I'm not making it.
Sacrifices were made and Rogue just did not appreciate it. So I hope next week when he's back, you guys can give him all kinds of crap about it. But yeah, hopefully go to
his channel, subscribe just so you can unsubscribe to him, just to let him know how angry you are with Rogue.
Oh, that's brutal.
Or you could just go over there, subscribe to him, you know.
Yeah, you could just go subscribe because you want to support him. He's going to be back. We'll make sure he's here next time. I think we've gilded him enough that he will return and we'll have our normal conversation with the three of us. And I think it's going to be great. But on that, I appreciate everybody tuning in today. Everybody in the chat, all the super chats. You guys are crazy today. We all appreciate that. And on that, I guess do we have an outro? Are we just going to see him in the next Bricks and Brits?
We need to get an outro. We need something. Yeah.
All right. Throw an outro into the comments and we'll use your outro next week. Maybe we'll come up with a new outro every time based on a comment. So we'll see you guys in the next one. Okay.